Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Reputation Igniter Podcast. We are super excited that you're here joining us. Again, hit that like button, subscribe, make sure that you've got your notifications on so you don't miss a new episode coming out. We are super excited to have Angie Snow on here today. Angie, thanks for being with us.
So happy to be here. Thank you, Chris.
Awesome. And so we're going to be getting into some really great stuff. I'm really excited about what she has to share. And as you know, this podcast is really focused on helping you, the HVAC business owner, elevate your business to that next level. Maybe you're a journeyman or you're thinking about having your own HVAC business in the future. This is a great place to plug in. Maybe you're a manager and trying to understand a little bit more about what your boss is thinking and why he's thinking that. And so our hope is that you're plugging in, getting new insight in the industry as we bring on industry experts for our industry, making sure that you're getting specific and actionable advice and insight. And so with that, that's why I brought Angie on today. She has this incredible, incredible framework she calls the 7-star CSR. And we're going to dive deep into that today so that you can make sure that you're taking your CSRs to that next level, because they're really kind of your first line of defense, I guess, or maybe your active, you know, the people on the front lines, right? You know, outside of your digital footprint, right? And the word of mouth marketing that you're generating, this is the first impression they have on your business. And the reason I've asked Angie on here is not just because she has that insight, but you also have to understand she's very active amongst the women in HVACR. So if you are a woman and you're listening to this podcast, I would highly suggest you find a way, whether you email or direct message or, you know, connect on LinkedIn, because Angie is a mover and shaker in that background. And she'll tell you her experience being a woman in the trades, because she bought Western Heating and Air back about, you owned it for about 14 years, but that was, I think, about 16 years ago. So you've taken your licks in the industry, kind of helping women kind of come up. And I just think that if the trades are going to succeed long-term, because we're seeing such a fallout with the millennials, that we really need to make sure that we're including both sexes in that as the trades grow. And so now she's also serving not only as a business coach, but also as a Service Titan advisor, and is really going across the country, just being an evangelist for making sure that you're getting technology into your business and how to implement that. And making sure, I would imagine, we'll probably talk about change management a little bit, because that's such a big piece of this, is right? How do you get your CSRs kind of involved? So again, thanks for being here, Angie. Maybe we just kick it off with this, talking about why 7-star CSR? I mean, I know, we're going to talk about that being a really cool name, being a review guy and a reputation guy, right? But where was the genesis? I mean, there's so many different places that you could have focused your attention and your expertise. Why did you go there? Maybe we start that.
Yeah, I love that question. Being a business owner, I knew how much money I was spending on marketing every month. And so as a business owner, I had a unique visibility into that. Whereas, you know, normal CSRs don't, they don't really get to see what the company's spending. You know, if you put yourself in the shoes of a CSR, their job is to come to work, they answer the phone, they book calls, that like, it's kind of this monotonous ongoing job. But as a business owner, my mindset is a lot different. I'm thinking about a lot of different things. I'm thinking about my reputation. I'm thinking about my brand. I'm thinking about the service that we're providing, the way that CSRs are representing the brand. And I know how much money I'm spending on marketing to get that phone to ring. And so it's so important for me that whoever answers the phone on my behalf or on our company's behalf does it as good as I would do it, right? Because when we bought our business in 2007, I was the CSR. I was everything in the office. And I knew what it would take to build relationships with these customers so that they would come back and use us over and over again, but also that they would tell their friends and tell everyone that they knew how much they enjoyed working with our company. So to really dive in on that part of the business, I wanted to get that right. And so that's where I was like, we're going to build something here that we can use. And regardless of how big we scale, we have a program that every CSR can be trained on. Everyone will be answering the phone the same way. And I know that all of our customers will get that 7-star experience, because 7 is way better than 5, right?
Yeah. Angie, I love what you said there. And I think on behalf of all marketers everywhere, especially those serving the HVAC spaces, thank you. Because I think the biggest complaint that we usually get is, you know, the leads, and here I'm swearing, the leads are crap, right? And most of the time I would say that, you know, that is a justifiable sort of like suggestion, mm-hmm. right? That the leads might be garbage. And sometimes if you're not doing your marketing right, yeah, you are kind of getting kind of bottom of the barrel clients and customers, right? But I think to your point, probably the easiest way to flip the profitability of your marketing, right, is to have that first initial interaction be one that is so great. And so I think, you know, just to kind of hammer that point home that, you know, maybe your marketing seems like it's costing you more than it should. And we're in an interesting economic time. So that could just be the general cost of marketing. But if one wants to go in any direction that I think would boost profitability probably quickest, I would say that that's probably some low hanging fruit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about, okay, I can dump more into my marketing and I can get more leads, or you could train your CSRs, empower them, give them the tools, the resources, and the training to book more jobs. Now you can actually spend less on your marketing and get the same number of jobs. I mean, think about a 50% booking rate versus 90%. Yeah. A really interesting statistic that we found at ServiceTitan, because one of the beautiful things about working at ServiceTitan is I get insights into all of the data of the thousands of contractors that use ServiceTitan across all trades, all industries, all sizes of business. Guess what the average booking rate was last year?
Oh man, I think because you're asking that question, it's probably somewhere between 20 and 30%. Am I closer?
It was 42%.
Hey, okay. All right.
Right. Okay.
A little better than I was hoping.
But we saw different trends. Some of the trends that we saw were the smaller the company, the smaller, the lower the booking rate. As companies, so less than 5 technicians had lower booking rates, whereas up to 20 technicians, they would have higher booking rates. And even more technicians over 20, we were seeing 60-70%. And so 42 is kind of that middle spot there that we saw average of everything. And so that told us a lot of different things, right? It tells us that the bigger the company, the better the booking rate. Why is that? Now, we don't know why, but we can make some assumptions.
Sure.
Maybe you have more availability, so it's easier to book the jobs, right? I've got more techs available. I can book more jobs. Maybe those companies have better training and better processes and systems in place. There's a reason that they have over 20, 30 technicians because they're doing things, they've done things a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many things that you could think about, like why are the booking rates higher? But coming back to that marketing question, if we can improve and increase our booking rates, we spend less on marketing. And that is an easy lever to pull in your business without spending more money. Let's take care of some of this low hanging fruit and empower and train our CSRs to capture more of those calls, book more of those leads, and get more of those on the board for our team.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this and you're doing marketing right now, I will just tell you, in the event that your marketing agency isn't telling you this, that there is a point on the curve where if you're spending money in pay-per-click, there is a diminishing return on your ad spend, right? And there is a point of optimization and you really don't want to go beyond that. And so, you know, yes, I think we can always say like, just spend more money on marketing, but there is like that diminishing return on your investment. And so like you're saying, you know, go, I guess it'd be like further down the line and kind of like maybe tackle a roadblock that maybe you hadn't thought about. And maybe this is the encouragement from that statistic about the 42% is that, hey, if you're a sole owner operator, now might be a great time to get out of your own way and have somebody, you know, who's not in the thick of it, right? Realizing that like you're dealing with emotions with the customer and projects and just, you know, things not going right, equipment not being, you know, there, expectations of the customers, right? So it's almost better to have somebody in the office a little bit detached from that kind of like frontline stuff to kind of, you know, maybe get that Zen moment and receive them properly. So with that, maybe let's jump into kind of the framework and maybe we can talk just about kind of maybe some of the cornerstones, the aspects, and then mm-hmm. we can kind of go back and we can kind of dive into those different elements a little bit more if we can do that, Angie.
Absolutely. And I want to start with this, where we're just talking about booking rates. Yep. With the 7-star CSR program, the minimum is 80% booking rate.
Wow. Okay.
That is the minimum. If a CSR is booking less than 4 out of 5 calls, there's some training that needs to be done. So if you're like, where do I start? What do I look at? Look at your booking rates. And okay. if your booking rates are below 80%, which most of the country is,
yeah,
take a look at that and listen to some of those calls. If you don't have money to invest in a coach or training for your CSRs, the first place to start is just start listening to the calls. Some of those reasons that calls are not being booked will be very blatantly obvious to you. And so just start listening to calls, and there might be a couple of things you can start working with your CSRs now. Like, it's funny how many people will call me and ask me about coaching for their team. And I'll say, well, have you listened to the calls? What are you noticing? And they'll be like, no, not really. And I'm like, first thing you should do, start listening to your calls and listen to them often. So get a good idea of how your team's performing. That's just some basic things that you mm-hmm. should be doing. Let's just say you should, not could be, you should be doing. Yeah. Someone in your company should be listening to phone calls to identify these opportunities, because I teach in the 7-star program that there is an opportunity on every single call. It may not be a lead, but it's still an opportunity to make a connection, start a relationship, leave an impression, so that if they need you in the future, or if somebody else needs you, or they've had such a good interaction with your company that they want to start telling people about your company. So regardless, even if it's not a lead, you are leaving a great impression and having a great interaction with that person on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's dive into the framework. The 7-star CSR process is exactly that. It's a 7-step process. And there are essentially 7 parts of this. When I teach this course, I have several different ways that I teach it. I teach it in a class forum. Right now I'm a coach with GoTime University, GoTime Success Group. So I teach classes there a few times a year. Sometimes we'll do them over Zoom, but they're much better in person when you can sit down and role play. And then we also now have a brand new recorded version of the entire program. It's about a 12-hour program, which is how I train my CSRs at my company at Western. When I hire a new CSR, they sit down and they go through the 7 steps all together, or just, you know, individually at their own pace with the online version. The first step is to prepare. And the reason this wasn't a step before, this is kind of my 2.0. I would always teach this, but I find that if CSRs are not preparing and for the call, you just walk in the door and start answering the phone, you're bringing baggage with you. Like, clear your mind, clear your space, prepare your body, do those things so that when you show up, you're full of energy, you've had a good night's sleep, you've got your water ready, you've got everything ready for you to be successful. You're in a good mindset where you can have your 100% focus on the client or whoever you're on the phone with. Because have you ever been on a phone, Chris, or on a call with a customer service, and you have obviously felt like they're multitasking or they're paying attention to someone else? Like, they're not focused on your conversation. They're asking you to repeat them yourself. Have you ever felt that?
Oh yeah. Been there plenty of times. Right. I know they got 10 chat windows open while they're answering my phone call. So
exactly. And it's so annoying. And so people can tell. So when you are on a call, you need to be 100% there for that customer, because they can feel that. And that leads into step number 2 of the process, which is to build a relationship of trust. And there are a lot of ways to build trust with a customer. You know, competency, how competent are you? How compassionate are you? I've in some recent research, the number one thing a customer wants is empathetic service. They want to know you care. So we dive into how to build connections from the very first minute they pick up the phone. Your greeting needs to be spot on, because a customer forms 11 impressions of you in the first 7 seconds.
Wow.
So that's, we think, I'll just hurry and brush over this greeting, but your greeting says a lot about you. So that's a really important part of that.
Yeah.
So we dive into, that's the second part of the process, is building that relationship of trust. And that's not something you just do at the beginning of the call. That's an ongoing thing throughout the call. Yeah. You're responsive, you're kind, your voice and how your voice, your tone, your pace, all of those things matter and can be heard. So that's part of that. Nice. Now the next part of the framework, step three of the process, is to ask questions.
Okay.
And so when we're training CSRs, we talk about what kinds of questions specifically for your trade should you be asking. Now, when we talk about HVAC, we talk about the five questions that you should ask on every single phone call. What's the issue? How long has it been happening? The number of units you have, where the unit is located. And then the other one is, now I'm on the spot and I can't remember the other. The age of the home, the age of the system.
Okay.
And those questions help me prioritize the call. And that's why we have those questions. So I challenge every company that I'm working with to come up with their own questions. But if they feel like those questions work for them, great. Now, in other trades, their top five questions might be something else.
Sure.
But it's questions are what help you build value. They help show that you're concerned, that you care, that you actually want this information. They help you also show that you're competent and you have the information you need to get the right technician to the call in the time that they need.
Love it.
Yeah. So those questions are really important. Now, even on a maintenance call, because sometimes they're just calling to schedule maintenance. There's not an issue, but we found out the hard way. Sometimes customers will call in and I just need a tune-up. Can you get me booked for a tune-up? And you go ahead and you book the call, but you don't ask if there are any current issues or what they've tried or how long it's been going on. You don't ask any of those questions because they just needed a tune-up. But once your technician gets out there, that's usually an entry-level technician.
Right.
They find out this unit's not even working. Like I don't know how, I only do maintenance. I don't know how to troubleshoot or do a service on this. Like we've got caught in some of those situations because the CSR did not ask those questions and we send the complete wrong technician to the call who's not qualified. So sometimes customers are sneaky and they think a tune-up's cheaper. And so they don't want to tell you there's actually issues or problems. So it's important to ask those questions.
Okay.
Yeah. So we talk about the types of questions you should ask and we practice. We do a lot of role playing so they get practice asking these questions. The first question you should ask, obviously, is their name. That's part of building that connection with them and using their name throughout the call at least two or three times. Now, you don't want to overdo it and use their name on every sentence. That gets annoying. But using the name several times throughout the call helps you feel connected.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Step number four. Am I going too fast for you, Chris? I know
No, you're great. I'm taking notes. I've got amplifying questions I'm going to ask you. So yeah, this is great.
Stop me anytime. I'm going through these. You can tell I'm passionate about this and I love this.
Of course.
Step number four is word choice and using positive, powerful language. We get into psychology a little bit in this part of the course because words are powerful. And a lot of times we speak just whatever is on our mind. You know, our language comes from our thoughts. And so there are a lot of negative words that could come out of our mouth as well. Like, well, unfortunately, we don't have a time for this. Or I'm sorry, I can't give you pricing over the phone. Those are all negative words. And that is the easiest way to turn a customer away. So we talk a lot about positive words and even negative words such as no problem.
Right.
Two negative words, no and problem, or not a big deal, or don't hesitate. Those are all negative words. Bear with me. That is a common word that people use in customer service, but to bear something means to carry something heavy. Yeah. Why would you tell your customer to carry something heavy with you? You would not do that.
No.
So we go through what are positive ways to say all of those things. Thank you for your patience is much better than bear with me.
Yeah.
My pleasure or you're welcome is much better than no problem or no big deal.
Yeah.
So thinking about those things, being conscious of those words, we go through a lot of practices where we identify all these negative words that we're just programmed to say. They come out of our mouths, but now that we're conscious, we can consciously adjust our language and use more positive language, which will help customers start to say yes and speak more positively back to you. So
right.
It's a reciprocal thing, and it leaves a much better impression. It's a much better experience.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Okay. Number five. Number five is to add sugar. Now, this is where we add value to calls. I like to use the analogy of adding sugar because you would not just dump a whole sugar bowl on your cereal. That will make it just too sweet and yucky. You won't want that. But I've had those phone calls before where it just turns into this big sales pitch because they're just dumping value statement, value. And I'm like, stop for a minute, right? So it's finding ways to add value and just sprinkle a little bit all throughout the call so that you're not bombarding them, but it's just enough to make it sweet. And they get really excited, actually excited to do business with your company because of the way you describe it, the adjectives you've used, the way you talk about your team, the way you talk about your company or the product or service. Now, HVAC is not sexy. It's not glamorous. We know that, but can we make it desirable? Can you talk about how much this homeowner is going to enjoy having Joe, this professional technician who's trained, certified, he's very friendly, he's very thorough. He takes his time as he goes through your system. He'll educate you and walk you through that. And then he'll ask, you know, he'll let you ask any questions that you have. And you just talk about like, oh my gosh, this is what the experience is going to be like. You're going to love it. You're going to love Joe. And you just add that sugar and make it sound like, oh my gosh, this is going to be awesome having Joe come out to my house.
Yeah.
So that's the next step. Step number six is to offer solutions. This is where we get into overcoming objections, those tricky customers, those hard to handle customers. We dive deep into that. And then step number seven is to nurture the relationship. And we dive into how you keep that relationship going after the call. We talk about outbound calling. We talk about happy calls. We talk about ways to continue that relationship, asking for reviews, and the right way and the wrong way to do that.
Awesome.
So that is the seven-star CSR in a nutshell.
I love it. So for our listeners, I'm just going to kind of recap this real quick. So step one is obviously you want to prepare, right? Like kind of leave the baggage that you brought to work, like, you know, out in your car kind of thing and come in focused. And I'm sure you've got a ritual routine and I'm going to ask you about that. Then it's to start to build that relationship of trust and making sure that those first couple of words, you know, given your introduction to the company, right? Because there's so many people that'll just answer and be like, how can I help? Or what do you want? Or, you know, just simple things, right? And like, we get it, we're in a rush, right? And we want to help them fast. So it's from a good place, but it's not necessarily aligned with the, you know, the ultimate goal. And then moving into the step three of like asking questions. And you said like, hey, there's five questions that we ask and just finding out what those questions are. Cause that's what people want. They need a framework, right? It's something they can kind of fall back on. We used to do that all the time in the military, you know, the checklist manifesto, making sure that, you know, everything that you're doing, you know, if the reactor is failing, you need to take very specific steps in a very specific order, or you will get a radically different outcome and one that you do not want to be on the news or known for a long time in, right? So understanding the importance of those. And then, like you said, word choice. And I love that. And we're going to talk about that because I think it's so easy. You have to realize your patient, the person that's calling, which is kind of your patient, you're the doctor, right? Is they're coming from a place of pain, right? Like they're not calling you like, hey, my day's going great. I can't wait to share all the great things. They're in a place of pain. And how do you, you know, use your word choice to sort of lubricate the conversation in a direction where they're going to get off with being happy, right? That they called and they called you, right? And then everything kind of follows in that. Add some sugar, add a little bit of sugar, not a lot of sugar, right? And then continuing to offer solutions, right? So that they feel like they have options and they don't feel like they're being, you know, hard sold something into a corner, because nobody likes that feeling, right? They like to be like, oh, it was my decision the whole time. I chose what I wanted, right? And then lastly, nurturing that relationship. And I love that you're also thinking about the future. You're not just, it's not just that call. You're thinking about, hey, how do we make sure that this customer is our customer 10 years from now? How do we make sure that every time we call, they're not upset that we're calling, but they're kind of like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, like I'll hear you guys out. Like you obviously have my best interest at heart. And so cool. So let's go back to the beginning. I think the prepare thing, I mean, unless there's, is there something particular? Like, I mean, is there like, you know, an incense that you guys burn? Is it sandalwood or is there anything like in particular? Obviously I say that tongue in cheek, but is there anything that you found like good? Is there, you know, like do people do jumping jacks like in the office? Like what have you found anything in particular that's been pretty consistent? Or is it does every CSR need to kind of create their own ritual? Or is there like a company-wide sort of thing? Like what have you found is kind of been, you know, the most consistent, like best way to prepare? Maybe we just chat on that for a minute.
You know, for me, I just say remember these three things: mind, body, and space. Is your space clear? Because if you're working on a messy, cluttered desk, it's gonna translate to your mind, and then things are gonna be messy. So clear your space, have a nice clean space, right? Because yes, if there's stuff around you, it's going to affect the way you think. So clear space, clear mind. For a clear mind, I also talk about affirmations. I'm confident. I am friendly. I am happy. I am helpful. I am calm. Because you're right, we do get these customers who are going through a crisis right now, and we need to be the calm. So affirmations, these positive things to get our minds in a good place. And then for body, it's just all of those things, moving, exercise, diet, sleep, water, taking care of your body so that you show up in your best self, your best body, with the energy ready to deliver for these customers. Yeah.
Love it. Right. And I, you know, especially for all this OCDs out there, you know, it's a great reason or an excuse to make sure that your, you know, employees have clean desks, right? It's like, hey, this isn't for me. This isn't what I want. Right. But this is for the health of the company. Right. Love it. And then so talking about, that building, a relationship of trust, right. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask pointedly, do you think that it's a value to have your CSRs ride along with a technician for a day or two? Like I'm trying to think of, you know, that's kind of a suggestion that a lot of my clients will do that, right? Cause it's like, the more you can get certain, you know, parts of your company interacting with other partners. I think I read that book Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. And he says like, you know, Gore-Tex always kept, you know, each one of their like offices at like no more than 150 people. Cause once you went past 150 people, like certain people wouldn't know other people. So they couldn't actually solve problems fast enough. And you got this like massive inefficiency. And so like, is that something you recommend or have you recommended that in the past or what does that look like? And maybe how would an owner kind of go about doing that without it making it sound like a punishment, I guess.
It's actually part of our onboarding program. Yeah. Oh, when awesome. We hire new CSRs, part of their job is to ride along. And mostly because they're not familiar with the industry. So if anything else, they're out there to learn. It's very educational for them. I like to do that also because it builds a stronger connection between the field team and the office team. You know, I've seen companies, I've even had this in my own company where the technicians are like, well, those office girls, they don't know what we do. You know, and it's not always girls. I've had men in the office too, but it's like, they don't know. They're booking too many calls for us. They don't see what we're doing. We're having to rush through these. And then same, the office team is like, well, why can't they just do this many calls? Like they don't get it. But when you put them in each other's worlds for a moment, then they can ride along. And, I remember I did a ride along a couple of years ago with one of our technicians, and I was just so impressed the way he stopped a couple blocks before he even got to the home so he could review the notes, he could review the history, he could see everything he needed to so that when he pulled up, he wasn't just stopping in front of that house like a creeper van for a while, right? Yeah. Like he stopped ahead of time, did that. So when he pulled up, he was ready to get right out of his truck, get his tools. I watched his approach to the door, the three steps back, the whole process that our technicians learn. We have this process for our CSRs. Our technicians have a very similar process. They have to build a relationship of trust. They ask questions. They align very well. So it's awesome for the CSRs to watch the technicians go through this process. How careful they are as they go through the home. What they're looking at, what they're doing. And it makes it easier for the CSR to come back. And then when it comes to that adding sugar part and adding value, when they're talking about what the technician does in the home, they believe it and they're convicted because they've seen it. They've been there. They've watched the technician shine. And so there are so many benefits to ride-alongs. And I've also seen some companies that are a little nervous to do ride-alongs. And so they've just done a video. They'll have someone ride along and video the whole ride-along. So the CSR can get a similar experience just through like video training.
Yeah. Well, I think like on top of that, right, then they can speak specifically about the tech, right? And I was going to talk about this a little bit later, but we recently had some work done on our cabinets. And, you know, when the gal, you know, was like, oh, you know, Sergio will come out, he'll be your tech and all that stuff. I remember the question that I asked was, is Sergio any good? Right. Cause I think with contractors, you just want to make sure that whoever you're getting is good. Right. And sometimes you just asking that question will cause, you know, the CSR, whoever's on the other end of the phone, to be like, well, actually here, let me put you with Bill instead of Sergio. Right. But instead she said, no, if somebody was going to work on my home, Sergio would be the guy. Well, now I feel completely at ease. And I'm excited for Sergio to come because I'm like, okay, that's saying a lot if they're going to say that about one of their techs. And the other point that I think was really cool is that when the office staff sees a tech do something where they're preparing, number one, I think it's genius because you're almost taking a minute to like advertise your business around the corner. Right. And then you're moving to the customer's house. And like you said, because I think when you see the van outside, right, as a customer, like you're waiting for the person, you want them to be there on time. Right. So like, as soon as you see the truck out there, you're like, okay, what are they doing? Why aren't they in the house yet? Come on. Like, let's get this thing done. Right. So I think, you know, parking a few blocks away is awesome. But when the CSR is seeing that, the CSR can say, hey, just so you know, every one of our techs preps before they show up. They understand what's going on. They're reading through all the notes that I'm saying. Like, these little things can just add that extra level, right? You know, I'm all about reputation. Well, those are the talking points that can create a reputation that precedes you in a very positive way. And it also breeds a level of understanding, like, wow, the CSRs know the techs know the CSRs. Like, this organization is very close, as opposed to like, you know, an enterprise level, you know, company where you're really afraid of like, okay, I'm just another, you know, data point in their database and, you know, I'm going to get on some newsletter and all that kind of stuff. So I love that level. And so, you know, with the asking question thing, one of the things I was thinking about or struck me is like, I think all your five questions or primary questions, I think they're awesome, right? I think that, with those five questions, I think a CSR knows so much about your system that they can say, okay, well, you know, you're at probably a critical point of failure. We should probably get somebody out there immediately because your system hasn't been worked on since the 80s. Like, we're freaking out for you, right? Versus like, hey, that got put in last year by the builder. You know, your system will probably be okay for another week or so. We've got appointments at such and such a date. But what I was thinking about is like, you know, asking those amplifying questions, like, hey, just quickly, like, are the small kids in the house? Like, do you have pets? Like, because that's another thing. Like, being in the world of reviews, man, and seeing some of the things, it's like, you know, these guys left the back door open and I was searching for Milo for 6 hours. And you're like, man, that's like, for any pet owner reading that review, like, they are not calling your company. Like, you've lost all your pet owner company, our clients. Right. So, I love asking those questions. What maybe are some questions, that like, or maybe a framework for asking some questions that might be helpful for like, as they're coming up with those, like, I think everybody should take those five, but if they were going to add, what are some things? Cause you don't want it to get too like technical or minutia, right? You want it to be like high level, but adding value. Is there like any questions that you would ask an owner to ask themselves? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of ways to brainstorm.
Well, the key to this is keep it conversational, right? Like, if they're telling you something, add a follow-up question to that. Like, the house has been cold all morning. Okay, well, have you checked your vents? Has this happened before? How long has this happened? Have you tried anything yet? Have you checked your thermostat? Is the bad, you know, you start going through a couple of those things. And not that you're trying to solve the problem for them, but you're their friend now. You are their trusted person that they're telling you all of these things. And you're just like, okay, well, here's just a couple of things because we want you to have heat, but you know, if the thermostat just needed its battery changed, or have you checked the filter? I just want to know what they've tried so I can give that information to my technician as well. So I like to find out what they've tried or if anyone's looked at it. I listen for cues. If they're like, yeah, there's this weird smell. Okay, where's the smell coming from? How long have you been smelling it? Have you smelled that before? Have you, you know, so it's just you listen and then you ask follow-up questions based upon what answers they give you. And in ServiceTitan, one of the best things that I love about this, and I'm not as familiar with other softwares, but for every different job type, there's a job summary where you can automate the questions that you want for each job. So if there's specific data or in, like you said, a checklist of certain things we want to know for that specific job type, I make sure to automate that so it pops up automatically. The CSRs do not book the job without asking all of those. It's very good for training new CSRs who are still trying to become familiar with the questions. And so that's really, really helpful. The number of units, that's a big one because, a new CSR might just assume you have one system and you need maintenance. I'll just put it on the schedule for 2 hours, but they have 7 units at their home. You never know. There are people who do. And so, no, this is going to take all day and it's going to take two guys. So it's important to make sure you get the critical questions and then whatever follow-up questions are appropriate. I encourage teams to play like 20 questions. See who can come up with the most possible questions and just have fun with it. And then post them up on the wall because questions are also a really good time filler. If you're trying to look up something instead of putting them on hold, keep the conversation going and keep asking them more questions. And you've got a whole list of questions right there that you can pull from, not to be annoying. You don't, like you said, you don't want to go overboard with the questions, but just to keep it conversational. Another data point we found at ServiceTitan was that when the customer talks more than the CSR, they're more likely to book the call. But if the CSR is doing most of the talking, the booking rates were lower. How do you
I
get
mean,
customers to talk? You ask questions.
of course, but not in like an interrogating kind of way,
No,
right? Like I think that's the
it's
other piece, right? It's like,
conversational.
what's your date of birth? What's this thing? I'm like, it's like I feel like I'm being, interviewed.
No, yeah.
I think the other thing that I was just thinking about there too, right, is because I think we can get so caught up. I mean, especially if you're in a busy office, right, and the phone's ringing, right, you can kind of get this like momentum going of like, cool, like let's keep banging out these calls, right? But I think, again, I'm just taking my experience of seeing it on the back end and seeing the reviews that my clients will get and like, whether or not people are referring them, like you're saying, asking those questions, number one, I think it gets you on their side because they're like, oh, this is cool. They're like helping me troubleshoot. Like maybe this is going to be free, right? Like you kind of give them hope. Like maybe there's just something I don't know, right? And maybe it's like I didn't change the right filter. Like you give them a little bit of hope that like, hey, maybe there's something I hadn't thought of, right? And sometimes you probably do solve a problem. And if you think about that, it's like, well, now you're their go-to, right? Like, screw Google. I'm not calling Google anymore. I'm calling, Western Heating and Air, right? Because they're going to help me. And if they're not, then we're going to figure it out, right? So I think that's one of them because there's nothing like I see this in so many reviews. Is like, the guy came out, he did something. I don't know what he did. He got back in the car and he charged me $400 for it, right? And it's like, well, and maybe it was something simple, but because it was an emergency call, they came out at, such and such an hour and da 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 da, that it ended up just costing you in labor and transportation, transit, it cost you X number of dollars for them to flip a switch when the CSR probably could have saved your tech that time. And now that review's out there and it's bad and that's costing you business as opposed to just taking that moment on the front end. And then on top of that, the flip side, like you said, maybe they've got that ranch house. They've got 7 units because one's doing the warehouse, one's doing the tool shed, the other's doing the house, and then you got the in-law or whatever the case may be. There's nothing like showing up ill-prepared for a call and somebody being like, these hacks, like they don't know what they're doing, right? When it was just a simple question of like, hey, how many units you have? Because somebody says 7 units, you go, okay, wait a minute. So which one of the is it all the units or is it just one of the units, right? So I think that also saves you from getting a black eye on the back end. And again, it's so easy to get caught up, like I said, in the momentum of a call that you miss the opportunity to really be the hero early on. And I think, the techs need to understand how much the CSRs are playing into that. And I think the CSRs need to understand how much they're supporting their techs out in the field. And that's where you create that synergy. So that's awesome. Maybe talk a little bit about the word choice. Like, is there, and maybe you have like a sheet, maybe that's something we could provide the listeners, but like, do you have a sheet of like, you know, here's the don't words and here's the do words, right? To just get people to kind of like start shifting their vocabulary. Cause I think it's in, you know, if you did have a resource like that, that could be, you know, immeasurably helpful. Cause sometimes people just don't know. Right. And like, it's just common language to say, ah, no problem or no worries. Right. But I'm with you. Like, I struggle not to type that in emails to my customers and my clients. It's like, don't say no problem. Cause that's too, it's too bad stuff, right? Say like, you know, all good, or we've got you taken care of, or my pleasure, or whatever the case may be. Right. So like, yeah. Is there a resource or what, maybe some yes. places to go, or what are your thoughts?
I would be happy to share with you a list of do's and don'ts, kind of like awesome. The don't say this, but do say this. Another one is like, don't forget to, and you could simply change that to please remember, because when you say don't forget, it's, you're already assuming they're going to forget, or it could come across that way. Another one is to say, let's see, I'm just pulling my list up here. I don't mean to bother you. Like when you're doing an outbound call, don't, and bother is a negative word. Just change it. Yeah. Is this a good time to talk about?
Right. Yeah.
Because now you're also, that kind of works mentally on you too. Like every time I'm making an outbound call, I'm bothering someone. Yep. No, you're not. You are there to give them a reminder. And they're actually, they're very grateful for the reminder. So it's something we internally do to ourselves. There's a really great book that really helped me when I was studying language and studying word choice. It's called Conscious Language. Hmm. It is by Robert Tennyson Stevens. And it's, he is, it's just kind of one of those random bookstore find, you know, it's not this real popular book, but when I started, taking classes and preparing to be a coach, this is one that my coach, gave to me. And there are so many words, and it really just goes to the consciousness of language and how the language you use actually affects you. And so we're creating our reality with the language that we use. So we really do have that ability to influence the experience and the way we think about ourselves and the way we think about others by the words that we use. And so that's a great resource if you want to share that. But I will give you a list of words to say and not to say that you can share as a resource with us.
That'd be great. I love that. And then now we're moving on to kind of adding sugar, right? Kind of like, you know, sprinkling it on and making sure that it's not too thick where they feel like they're being, you know, coerced by a used sales car or used car salesman to like, you know, get into this thing today. Right. What, you know, how is there any like sort of, you know, ways that you help them kind of keep the balance? Cause I think especially most CSRs, right. Probably don't come from a heavy sales background. Right. And ideally, I guess maybe you can just kind of riff on this. I know this is more of a side note, but like, I think what's interesting about our industry is I think more and more people are now starting to look less for experience and more for kind of characteristics and attributes and personalities that jive with the culture, because you can pretty much train anybody to do just about anything in our industry if you've got the right sort of foundation, right? So, and maybe you can just either echo that or nix that idea, right? And you can share your thoughts. But then, yeah, how does one sort of walk that balance? I mean, obviously, I think it's just, you know, repetition, right? But maybe there's some ways that you've, you know, help people catch themselves from like getting overly eager. I don't know.
Well, I actually see the opposite more often. I see people not building value and not dropping those value statements, and they forget to do that. And part of this program is you have to do it at least twice in a call, whether you're talking about your company, your team, or, you know, things like that. Like, it's really important to just make sure you're adding sugar. Like, think about how bitter it is if there's zero sugar. So let's make this call enjoyable and delightful. And something that there's a book called Sprinkles. And in this book called Sprinkles, have you ever read that book?
No.
By Chip Bell. Okay. It's a customer service book. It's a great book. But there's a quote in there from Anthony Bourdain, who used to be this popular TV chef host. I think he's passed away now. But when he was judging dishes, you know, for him, it was like, I mean, how it looked was one thing, but ultimately was like, did it give him pleasure? Did it taste, is it good? And does it give pleasure? Like, is this an unexpected, like, is it what I was expecting, or is it something above and beyond that? And so when it comes to CSRs and adding this sugar, think about like, how can I just add a little bit of value to your day to day? And you're adding value to others. You're congratulating them on something. It's, it goes beyond the company. It's how can I make this person's day better today? And really internalizing that. When you're thinking about adding and creating value statements, because I have these all over the wall in my call center, value statements about the different services, value statements about the people, go look at your reviews. This is your cheat sheet. If you want to know what people love about your company, dive into your reviews and see what people are saying. You know, I love that they were on time, that they were friendly, that they were responsible, that they educated me on my system, like things that I had not been putting in my marketing at all. But this is what my customers are saying that they love about us. So why don't we tell them? We're going to make sure we're on time. If we're going to get a text when we're on our way, you know, like you're building value and letting them know what they can expect and why it's going to be great for them. He's so friendly. He loves pets. He keeps little dog treats in his van. So you're really, you know, I can hear your dog back there. If that's okay, I'll let him know that he can bring a treat in for your dog. Like something like that, that has nothing to do with the HVAC, but shows that I care about you as a person.
Well, and again, I think we go back to the place of like having a fully integrated team, right? That knows about each other, because in a way, just collecting those different data points about the different technicians, about maybe your different processes and stuff like that, and just being aware of those, they're going to come from you so naturally to share about, you know, Sergio or Bill or, you know, Steve, the one who brings the dog treats or whatever, like that you're almost going to be giddy and excited to share that, like, you know, these like unique things. I also love what you just said about your reviews, because that's what I tell clients. I'm like, look, if you want to find out like how people would refer you or what they would say when they refer you, they're already telling you because they literally took the time publicly to put it online. And, you know, for better or worse, and I would just say that, you know, rest assured, you know, business owners, like, even if you don't have a lot of reviews, there's ways to fix that, obviously. But it's not because people don't like you. It's just maybe you haven't given them a chance or an easy way to do it. And again, you know, there's ways to do that. Different show topic there entirely, but going to your reviews is such an easy way for you to pull out, like you said, the nuggets of wisdom, right? That people are referring, and that's what they're saying about you. They're literally saying that about you because they've said that about you. Now, what's really cool, and this is where, you know, I'm like, AI is a good thing, right? Is because, you know, now what we do for our clients is like, we can actually pull an AI summary of like all of your reviews and be like, hey, this is what people say about you. This is what they say. So like, in a way, like, boom, you can kind of almost in real time get what people are saying. And so to your point, it's like the other piece of this, and I was talking, I'm trying to think of who we were talking to about this on an earlier podcast episode, but like your ultimate customer avatar, right? Like you, Pete Ramsey, we're talking about your ultimate customer avatar. In a way, you're almost, that's your ultimate customer avatar. They care that you're on time. They care they give you, you give doggy treats. They care that you put booties on your shoes, right? So like, these are all things that you can easily talk about so that somebody becomes more familiar with your processes. So that even if this is a first time house call, they feel like Western Heating and Air has been there before and you know, they trust you, right? So I love that. I hadn't even thought about that, but I wrote a big note on that because it's like I gotta be more active at getting my clients those summaries so that they can be using that and leveraging that in their language, right?
Yes. Because your CSRs, unless they've done those ride-alongs, or you know, and a ride-along isn't always the thing, but you know what your customers are saying about you because it's right there on your reviews. So use that back to them. That's what's important to them. To your point, they took the time to write that because it's important to them. So give that back to your customers and let them know, get them excited about it. Yeah. Just like you would get them excited about a new restaurant or a new movie or anything else that you're excited to try. Yeah. You can do this. It's about adding that sugar and getting them, making it a little bit sweeter experience.
Yeah. Well, so last thing I'll say there on the reviews piece is like, as a business owner, use the reviews for your techs and for your CSRs as well, right? Because, like, yeah. I think you can create this flywheel of excitement around your business when you're like, hey, you know, they said this about Sarah, you know, or they said this about, you know, Sergio. Like, I, that's another thing I've always advocated is like, man, you can really, you know, out of your review service, you can really get a lot of, what's it called? A lot of mileage. That's what I'm looking for. A lot of mileage out of that stuff, right? Because it's so valuable. I mean, literally, you know, I still want people to hire you, Angie, as a business coach, because there's other areas of your business. But like, in a way, that could be thousands of dollars worth of consulting fees to like pull and extract this out of you. And it's literally sitting, that gold mine is sitting right there in front of you. You just mine it, right?
Yes.
Cool. So, all right, so we're going to kind of wrap up here. I know we got these last two. So offering solutions, I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, you should be offering solutions, offering several solutions. Do you have a, like, they should always offer three? Like, I'd be curious, do you have this, like, they should always offer three? Cause like, you know, what we found in the review world is like, if you offer people too many review sites, they like get overwhelmed and they don't interact with any, right? Like, it's like no more than three. Usually we try and keep it to two, right? So like, have you found sort of like offering solutions, certain number works, or what have you kind of found?
Well, when we talk about offering solutions, we talk about these customers who call in and, you know, maybe you were just out there and there's a problem and you get to be a problem solver now and you get to help find a couple of solutions. You know, I can talk to the service manager. We can get someone back out there today. I could have, you know, I could have someone call you back if you'd like, or I can, it's finding a solution. It's not like, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. It's always finding a way to say yes. Mm. And I have a solution, and I have a lot of solutions. If someone calls in, the first two things people usually ask when they call to schedule service or replacement is, how much is this going to cost?
Yeah, right.
And you know what the biggest mistake a CSR can do is they can say it's going to cost this much, or I can't give pricing.
Right.
They'll hang up right away. You've just lost that call. So that is not an inexcusable call. If someone is calling about a price, they are in the market for whatever service you're offering. Yeah. And so we have to offer solutions. I'd be happy to get you a price. Can you tell me, this is where we go back to asking questions. Can you tell me what's going on so I can get you the best price? Yeah. And then pretty soon the conversation starts, and then you've had time to add the value, add the sugar, use your positive word choice, build that relationship of trust, and you can give them a solution. Well, you know, it sounds like the best solution would be to have a technician come to your home. And the service fee is X number of dollars. Would that work for you? You know, it's going through, it's keeping control of the call. They want the price, but usually they just don't know how else to start the call. And they're giving you an opportunity now to prove to them why, what the price should be and why, because you've just taken that time to build that relationship and add value and show the value by asking the questions and all of those other things.
Yeah. And what I love what you're talking about there too, right, is like, and this is what I'm always thinking about, is like, this is the way to differentiate your business, right? Because I think most businesses in a rush, or, you know, just motivated to like want to help the client and just be like, it's going to cost $300, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're doing, number one, you're doing a big disservice, not just to the person who just called in, but you're also doing disservice to your company. Cause like, you might lose the job because you overbid, because what it really is not that thing. Right. But I think
exactly
what we lack in our marketplace, and this is where I think we really need to go, and this is why I had a great conversation with, you know, Nate Adams from HVAC 2.0, is like, you really got to get alongside the customer, because in our industry, so often it's like a parent-child relationship, right? And the person calling in feels like a child, and like, you know, the parent's going to reprimand them and tell them they don't know this or that or the other thing, and that they should just listen, right? And you really want to come alongside them and instead say, hey, I'd love to give you a price because I know that's an important piece to you, right? But let's understand what's going on a little bit more.
Exactly.
Because to be honest with you, from what you've told me, the small amount of information, the thing you need fixed could be $79 or it could be $790. And I don't really know, and I don't want to mislead you, right? And I think most people will go, oh, okay, that makes sense. You don't have enough information. And that's going to get them more along the lines of being like, well, shoot, it sounds like from what you're telling me, it would be better to just have a tech come out here and actually diagnose the problem properly, because I might overpay another technician, you know, another company, right? Who just quoted me $650, because you're telling me it could be like a $79 job. Yeah, I think that would be the best option for you, right? And they're going to trust you because you walked them through the variables, as opposed to being like the guys who gave them a $650 quote, because nobody wants to pay $650, right? Like, right. If I had that kind of money, you know, just sitting around, I mean, I'd be visiting Vegas more often if I just could burn it, right? So it's one of those things that I think, like you said, is really powerful for them. So that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Angie, so let's wrap up here.
Sounds good.
That's a great way to kind of end it is this segue of nurturing the relationship. So I think a lot of people think, well, you know, if we do good, they'll call us back. Not always the case, right? Not most people don't remember you, right? Because, maybe you put a magnet on their fridge and they look at that, you know, on a daily basis and they remember you. But, you know, chances are, I mean, we got so much going on nowadays in our life, right? And we see so many marketing messages and all this kind of stuff. So like the question I always say is like, how are you staying top of mind? But not only top of mind, like, how are you staying relevant for your client, right? Because like, yeah, you could continue to blast them with your, you know, $79 duct cleaning or whatever, right? Like every quarter, right? But are you adding value, right? So help me understand when you're saying nurture the relationship, what are some of the components to that? What does that maybe look like? Is some ideas that somebody mm-hmm. might think, okay, I'm nurturing the relationship. It's not that I'm like milking the relationship for more money, right?
We don't like feeling like that. Yeah, I think that the very first thing and the easiest thing to do is a happy call. And there are so many automated ways to get surveys or send a link for a review and get feedback that way. But it goes a long way to show that, hey, I'm thinking about you. I just want to make sure everything is working well since we've been out there. Are there any other concerns? Like, this is somebody that's not going to just come out, fix something, charge you a fee and be gone. No, yeah. I want to have a relationship with you. That's why we call our customers, we actually refer to them as clients, not customers, mm-hmm. because yeah. a client is someone who does repeat business with you mm-hmm. over and over, and you're their person when they think about that. So having that client relationship, and that's something you do, you're going to check up on. Did we miss anything? And also when you do that happy call, that's a great way to collect money. If they still owe you money, make sure they have a good invoice. If they didn't sign up for a membership, you know, hey, I noticed you didn't take advantage of our savings club. Would you like me to sign you up now and I can apply 15% back to you? You know what I mean? Like, we can give you those savings right here on this invoice now. And it's doing those things. It's like, I'm really just here to serve you and help you. And here are a few ways that I can. So the happy call is the easy way, but then the ongoing emails, touch points, phone calls, recurring services, people do want to know that you care about them. They're not just a number, and you actually do have a relationship with them.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, like you said, again, like we're talking about the psychology of word choice, right?
Yes.
Your word choice of shifting from customer to client just elevates that whole mindset of how you're treating the person, mm-hmm. right? And I think just causes you mentally to be more invested. And one of the things that, you know, I always like share with my clients is like, your ask for review should be designed in a way that it's just a natural extension of your customer yeah. experience, right? Because I think a lot of people go, you know, oh, I need to get these reviews, right? And it's like, oh, well, you know, your customers, your clients are going to feel that, right? As opposed to putting it as an easy way. And I lived up in the Pacific Northwest for like a decade. And so for me, we always used to talk about like people love hiding behind their keyboard and telling you everything, right? You know, there, they won't tell it to your face, yeah. right? Different than New York, right? New York is very different. They will tell you everything on your face and they won't bother to take any time online, right? So I jokingly say is like, you got to give them an outlet that they feel safe to actually share their feedback, and you got to give them a channel to do that. And if you don't give them a channel to do that, that's going to manifest itself in weird ways, right? Where they're on Google, they're on Yelp, they're on Home Advisor, yep. they're on Angie's List, right? And you're just like, what did we do to this person, right? And it really just comes out of the fact that they didn't feel like they were being heard, or nobody was like caring about them or following up, because a lot of businesses, and you know, no fault of their own, right? Like you said, it's like after the credit card swipe, like they just never hear from them again, right? And, you know, yeah. we live in a different economy now and everybody's connected and your reputation precedes you. And so you need to be doing things that continue to like nurture that relationship, because you also don't know how much you just calling them, right? Even if it was, you know, just to mention something or to suggest it, but that might bring you top of mind. And then for all you know, they have a conversation at, you know, the PTA meeting or something like that. And you know, somebody's talking about their HVAC system and then boom, you get a referral just because you were doing your touch outs, right? And you never know. And I think that's the hardest part, like from a marketing sense, is like, how do you attribute that to an actual conversation? But, you know, I think, you know, just kind of passes that common sense, you know, test of like caring for the people in your community, right?
Yeah. And I think sometimes like we're busy. We all have 100 things going on. Our customers do too. And, you know, I'll have someone call me and be like, hey, you know, we just did this service checking up. Is everything okay? Yeah. All right. And they ask for the review. And I'm like, I'm really glad you reminded me. Yes, I wanted to give you a review, but life happened and I didn't. So yes, I'm going to get on there and give you one. Thank you for following up. Like,
yeah,
it just, it means something. So
yeah.
You might capture a few more reviews that way.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, thank you, Angie. Appreciate you so much for taking your time and really kind of giving us some insight into the 7 CSR. I think, you know, obviously anybody can kind of take those 7 things, I think, and actually put those into action. You know, I think great is it's very common sense, but let's say that somebody says, hey, you know, that's great. Now I get the mindset. I totally agree with Angie. I want Angie to come in and teach this, or I want access to that 12-hour course. Like, what are ways that they can get in contact with you, or the best ways to connect with you to kind of follow up? Maybe they've got additional questions, or maybe they want you to come and train. What are some of the ways that somebody might be able to reach you?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn. Angie Snow, Success Coach, is what you'll need to look for. I can also leave you the link, or you can just send me an email, angie@snowbusinesscoaching.com.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thanks again. And real quick, I do, just for our female listeners, you said that you're heading to a conference here.
Yes.
I mean, we're recording at the beginning of November. and I think the conference is in like mid-November or something. Maybe you can talk just a little bit for a moment about that conference for the women listening.
Yes, we have a Women in HVACR organization that's been around for over 20 years. Started for women to help us find other women. Women are only 3% of this industry. I don't know if you know that, Chris, but we have a very small representation. And so for a lot of years, I felt very alone until I found this group and I found other women who were just like me in home service companies. And they had the same struggles I had. These women understood me. And so I was able to network with them. I was able to mentor and learn from them. I was a mentee and now I'm a mentor. And now we're just able to spread the word and just really have a great network of women who are not only contractors, but also technicians, salespeople, distributors, manufacturers, women from all facets of the HVAC industry. So it's fantastic. I'm super excited for the event. It's one of my favorite every year.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing, Angie. We appreciate that. And for all our listeners, we're excited. Another episode in the books. Angie obviously shared some great knowledge on, hey, how you can up your CSR game and really, I think, add some profitability back into your organization, some efficiency, as well as, you know, cut some marketing costs. And I think just to overall be happier and in a good place with your team on the right track. And so we're pumped for that. And with that being said, again, like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. The more you kind of plug in, the more insight you will have. I continue to promise that I will go out and find industry experts like Angie here to give you their insights and just give you another angle to improve and elevate your business as we elevate our industry as a whole. We count on you. And I know I've obviously talked a lot about the importance of reviews. We would love a review for the podcast. I know it takes a little bit of effort to do that, but it makes a huge impact on this getting out to more HVAC business owners so that they can become more informed about what's going on in their industry and the great people that they can connect with to help improve their business. So please maybe pay it forward to those other people and leave a review if you've got the time. With that, we'll leave you for today and we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks again. Take care.